We continue our series of study of the book of James. And we come now to the fourth chapter of James. And in this chapter, the apostle, in his writing, calls the Christian believers to turn away or to depart from worldliness. He speaks against the sin of slander, and then after that he followed with in respect to the future, meaning to say future not in view of Christ's second return, but in future of our everyday life. He urges us to cultivate a spirit of dependence upon God, seeking Him in prayer and not presumption. So this is a very brief overview of this chapter. Our focus this morning is at the first part of chapter 4, James chapter 4, and that is from verses 1 to 13, which is basically a call to unconditional surrender, or a call to humility. And our anchor text is verse 7. Submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. This injunction should not need much entreating. Submit yourselves to God. Is this injunction or command too heavy? No. Is it not right and proper for a Christian believer to submit? To submit to his Creator? To submit to his God? To submit to his Provider? To submit himself or herself to their Savior? Is it not wise? Does not our conscience tells us that we ought to submit to our Heavenly Father? Does not reason bear witness that it must be best for every Christian, for every child of God to do so? Submit yourselves to God. And we further ask, should not the creature be submissive to the Creator who made us in His image, who gives us all things for us to enjoy, for our good, to whom it owns its existence, without whom it had never been, and without whose continuous good pleasure we would cease immediately. Our Creator is infinitely good, all wise, and His will is love. To submit to one who is too wise to err or too good to be unkind should not be hard, isn't it? Is it hard? Is it difficult for a child of God, bought by the blood of Christ, to submit to God, His Creator, His Savior? If God were a tyrant, it might be courageous for us to resist. But since God is a Father, it is ungrateful to rebel. Therefore, to resist God is to contend against one's own advantage. And like the untamed bullock, to kick against the bricks to our own hurt. Submit yourselves unto God. It is what the angels do. What kings and prophets have done in the past. What the best of men delight in. To submit to God. It is therefore no dishonor, no sorrow, no burden in so doing. In submitting to our God. All nature, as we see, as we observe, is submissive to the law of God. The sun, the stars, the moon, they yield to His direction or His directive. We shall but be in harmony with the universe in willingly bowing to His sway. Submit yourselves to God. You and I, as God's people, as God's children, must do it, whether you are willing to do so or not. It is a command, by the way, as we have in our original, the Greek New Testament, or rather, the Greek New Testament. That word, submit, is in the imperative mood, meaning to say it is a command, it is an injunction. So whether you like it or not, you are to submit, you have no choice. Who can stand against the Almighty God? For puny man, puny woman, puny boys and girls, to oppose the Lord Jesus is like for the chaff to set itself against the wind. The eternal God is irresistible, and any rebellion against His government must soon end in total defeat or destruction. And of course, God in His grace and mercy and His long-suffering, He does indeed endure us, all bear with us, so to speak, for the moment. But those who continue, persist in their rebellion, persist in their unbelief, and in rejecting the gospel, in rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ, must soon end in destruction. Through His servant Isaiah, the Lord challenges His enemies. The prophet Isaiah saying, "Who would set the briers and the thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together." Isaiah 27 verse 4. God will be sure to overthrow His adversaries. He may, as I said, in His infinite patience or long-suffering, permit the rebel to continue for a little while in His reward. But as surely as the Lord lives, He will compel every knee to bow before Him, and every tongue to confess that He is the living God. He is the sovereign ruler over all. Submit yourselves unto God, brethren, is a precept, which is plain, which is a plain dictate of reason, and it needs few arguments to support it. Yet because of our pride, our foolish pride, notice that the text, our anchor text in verse 7, it enforces it by what? With the word therefore. Did you see that? Therefore, which is to be found also in the preceding verse, in verse 6, which of course in our AB is translated as wherefore, which is the same as therefore. And so the therefore is put there to enforce it. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourself therefore to God. God's wrath, God's mercy, both argue for submission. We are both driven and drawn to it. The Lord aims all His arrows at the lofty, at the proud, and turns the edge of His sword against the stubborn, the stiff neck. But the very moment He sees signs of submission, His pity comes to the fore. His pity comes to the front, and through the merits of His beloved Son, the Lord Jesus, His abounding grace forgives the fault. Is it not this an excellent reason, brethren, friends, for submission? Who can refuse to be conquered, to be won over by love? So much for the introduction. Let us now seek a deeper understanding of the text as the Holy Spirit enables us. First, this precept is a call to the redeemed people of God. a call to the redeemed people of God. Submit yourselves therefore to God. He is your God. He is my God. The God of the Bible. Our Heavenly Father. A God to the Christian believer. He is your friend. So therefore yield yourselves to Him. What does this command mean? To submit yourselves to God. First, it means this. To exercise humility. It is the duty of every Christian believer to exercise humility. We do well to interpret a text by its connection. And now the connection here is this. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. And therefore, the submission here meant must include humility, even if it is not the main point intended in the text. Brethren, let us take our right place before God. We who are pardoned sinners, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, purchased by the shed blood of Christ, should we be boasting? We who are undeserving, wretched sinner, we deserve only one thing, hell. We who are debtors to sovereign grace, should we be extolling ourselves, proud, boastful? Nothing can be more out of place than boasting upon the lips as a child of God. Is it not one of the fundamental truths of our faith, of our Christian faith, that we are saved by grace? Indeed it is. And so the Apostle Paul asks, where is the boasting then? It is excluded. The word excluded means shut out. It is excluded. How? By the law of grace. If all the good we have has been given to us freely by divine favor, in what can we glory? In what can we boast? As Paul says, why do we boast for what we have when it is all given to us? In and of ourselves, we did not get it. It is given. If we possess the highest degree of spirituality, if our life be perfectly clear from any open fault, blameless as Christians, if our hearts be wholly consecrated unto our Lord Jesus, yet we are, in the words of Paul again, unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. But sadly, we must confess, we fall short. We fall short of this. For we have not done what it was our duty, our responsibility to have done. And in many things we fail. We fail and come short or fall short of the glory of God. And so as believers, as Christians believers, you who profess or confess to be Christians, what are we to do? How should we respond? Or what should be our response to this command? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Well, we are to repent, wherein we have fallen short of the glory of God. In areas where we have fallen short, in areas where we have sinned, in areas where we have not done right, we are to seek forgiveness, to seek the Holy Spirit's enabling to walk with lowly humility before God and with meekness towards our fellow brethren and towards our fellow men, our neighbors. We take a look at the Apostle Paul for a model or an example. He is an apostle. He will by no means allow anyone to question his calling or his appointment as the apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. for he has received it of the Lord directly. But what does he say? Not meet to be called an apostle. 1 Corinthians 15:9. What can be lower than that? He takes his place among the ordinary saints, for he has made his calling and his election sure. But where does he sit among the people of God? He designates himself less than the least of all saints. Ephesians 3:8. Furthermore, he writes of himself. What did he write of himself? He writes of himself as the chief of sinners in 1 Timothy 1:15. And so you see, brethren, this is submission to God. The true surrender of every proud pretension or conceited claim. Beloved, we know that in Christ we are saved and accepted out of His mercy. We know that we are dear to God, loved by God, with an everlasting love, watched over by God, cared over by God, provided for by God. We know that He hears our prayers and answers us continually. We know that we walk in the light of His countenance. But still, our posture should always be that of deep humiliation before the Lord, and in the attitude or in the spirit of complete submission. We should sit at the Master's feet and say with Paul, "By the grace of God, I am what I am." 1 Corinthians 15:10. And so may the Holy Spirit work this gracious submission in every regenerated soul. Brethren, I have said this before, such kind of grace, Christian virtue, do not come to us automatically. It must be prayed for. You and I must plead for the Holy Spirit to work this in our hearts, to sanctify us, to sanctify our hearts, to put this, through the Holy Spirit, to put this in our hearts, this spirit of humility. And we have to intentionally pray for it. And therefore, I urge you, don't just pray for all your material comfort of your needs, but pray also, in fact, more so, of your spiritual needs, of your spiritual well-being. Let us next observe that our text bears a second meaning. And the second meaning is this, that of submission to the will, to the divine will, or to the will of God. What does this text mean? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. It secondly means submission to the divine will. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Fellow Christians, be willing to accept whatever God appoints for you. I know it's hard. It is tough. Very, very hard. Even for a truly born-again, genuine believer. Because of this old nature that is still, this old corruption that is still in us. How do you accept? For example, when you are afflicted with a certain disease or sickness that God so allowed, how do you accept that? It is tough. How do you accept, for example, a disease that came upon your child or your grandchildren or whatever? How do you accept that it is from the Lord and it is for our good or my good? Is such a thing so unhappy, so painful that happens or occurred in your life? Are you quite sure that you are submissive to the divine will as to your rank or your place in society? There are many Christians that are not satisfied with what the Lord has apportioned them. Have you accepted your position in the scale of worldly wealth? Are you satisfied to be obscure or of small ability? Are God's appointments your contentments? Again, brethren, this need prayer. We need to pray that the Holy Spirit will help us, will enable us to be content, to submit to whatever the Lord so will in our lives, and particularly those times or those areas where it is so painful. That brings much tears to you or even to your family members, how to submit. And therefore we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will create that in us, will give us a humble and a teachable and a submissive heart. Too many professors are quarreling with God that they are not other than they are. And this is evil. This is wickedness. It shows the pride is still in their hearts. For were they conscious of their own worthlessness? If we are conscious of our own worthlessness, that we are undeserving sinners, if we are always have this in our mind, we are but thus, and we do not deserve anything from God except eternal condemnation. But out of His great mercy, He saved us. He sent His Son to die on the cross of Calvary, shed His blood for the remission of our sin, paid that penalty that we should pay. If we are conscious of our own worthlessness, then we would know that anything short of hell is more than we deserve. And as long as we are not in the pit of torment, gratitude becomes us. It is a blessing when the mind and the heart is brought to submit to all the chastisement of God and yield to all the trials of His providence. And we must remember, brethren, many a times the chastisement of God come to us not because of God so will it, so to speak, but because of our own doing, because of our foolish decision that brought so much pain and sorrow to our own lives and destroy or shame the testimony or the name of Christ. We brought it upon ourselves, and therefore God in His mercy will apply the rod of chastisement. And so do not forget, many of God's chastisement is not because He sent it just for His pleasure or out of His anger, but it's because of our own doing. Knowing as we do that all these things, the trials, the pain, the sorrow, the sickness, the troubles, even if it is not of our own doing, all these things work together for our good, and that our Heavenly Father knows best what is needful, and we are bound to submit ourselves cheerfully, joyfully to all that He appoints. And again, there needs a change of heart to accept that, to humbly accept that, to cheerfully rejoice or to receive such painful providence from God. It needs the change of heart. It needs the Holy Spirit to do that work. In and of ourselves, we will rebel, we will resist, and we don't like it because it is painful. But we must always, as God's children, look beyond the pain, look at the end product, so to speak, or the result that comes out of that trials, of that affliction. Though no trial for the present is joyous, we don't deny that, but grievous, Hebrews 12:11, yet ought we resign ourselves to it because of it after result. Always look beyond your troubles. Don't just focus on it. Look at the end result of it. Yes, we do not deny that trials tribulations, affliction in itself. There's nothing good out of it in itself. But the end result, what comes or produces through the trials, is for our good. As a true child of God, can you make a complete surrender to your Heavenly Father, good's pleasure? If not, you have not fairly learned the mind of Christ. It is a great thing to have the soul entirely submitted to God about everything. Everything in your life. And so therefore we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will help us humbly, cheerfully submit to what God appoints for us. Because our natural selves, this old corruption still in us, we will resist. We don't like it. And we need a change of heart. And so, it is a great thing indeed to be entirely submitted to God about everything, so that we never wish to have anything in providence other than God would have it to be, nor desire to have anything in His word altered. Not one ordinance of the Church of God, not one doctrine of revelation, not one precepts or warning other than it is. We shall never be at rest, brethren and dear friends. We shall never, never be at rest, true rest, till we come to this, till we humbly submit. And I like to use that before, and I use it before. The three S's, remember I tell you, what is that? And I borrow it from the writer Andrew Murray in his book. Absolute surrender. It's not just surrender, but it's absolute surrender. And I add to it as absolute submission, absolute subjection. The three S's. And it is a very important lesson for every Christian to learn it. To learn it again and again and again. Because it is not easy to surrender, submit, and to subject to the will of God, to the ways of God. It is essential for our happiness, for our spiritual well-being, to say at all times, nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou will. Can you pray that prayer? Can you honestly pray that prayer sincerely from your heart? I tell you, brethren, and of course this is no secret, you may have experienced it, and I hope that you will continue to experience it. Do you know the key to open heaven's window, that God pour forth His blessing upon you? You know what is that? It's 3S. Yes, in our prayer, in your heart's desire, you may desire this, in desire that, but I tell you the secret, which is no secret. You pray this, Lord, I desire this, this, this. But, if you think otherwise, it's okay. I will accept it. Can you pray that? And I tell you, from my own experience, very often, you'll be surprised. Absolutely surprised that God exactly give you what you ask for. Especially if it is His will. You see? Are you willing? But He knows our heart. If you are, no Lord, I want this. This is my best. I like to marry this person. She, so handsome, so beautiful, must be the one. I want to go and study in this program, this university, or this place. No, this is the best in the world. I want to be among the famous. I'm not willing to accept anything. And often we go to God just for rubber stamp. Actually, inside already decided, but it's all pretense. God, should I do this? Should I go this? Should I study this? Should I marry this person? Should I take up this job? is just going there so that God can rubber stamp already what you decide. But I can tell you that God may grant it to you. God may grant it to you, but to your own hurt. To teach you a lesson of how to submit, how to lower yourself or humble yourself and to seek His will, if you are a child of God. And so the text means firstly humility, then submission to the Lord's will. May the Lord teach us both. Another meaning of this text is the lesson of obedience. It is not merely a passive submission to God, but a humble, voluntary and active submission to your great God and Savior. The position of the Christian should be that of a servant. You know, in the old days, in the New Testament or in the Old Testament during those times, you know what it is? It's not like in our modern times. For example, in Singapore, you have your domestic help, who is in that sense your servant, where they have all their rights. You got to make sure you take care of them, you don't abuse them. But in those days, servants or slaves, they have no rights. Every single thing must be decided by the master. Where you sleep, where you eat, what you eat, what you wear, where you go, who do you marry, is all decided by the master. Do you know that? And so, you see, we miss that because we are so desensitized right now by all our modern, you know, lifestyle and living. And this has come into the church that we forget that as Christians, we are or should be, our mind, our position, our attitude must be that of a servant. It is not ours to question. To question is for the master, for the boss. But ours is to obey God without questioning, even as soldiers do. Submission to our Lord and Savior will be manifested how? By a ready obedience. And this particularly, I like to say to the boys and girls, the younger ones, delays. You know, sometimes fathers and mothers tell their children, have your dinner now. Yes, I'm coming. But actually, they are still in their room. I want to tell you, children, delay obedience, I mean, are essentially insubordination. And neglects are a care, or rather are a form of rebellion. Take note. Don't think that you are, oh, I obey my parents. I just told my mom on that. But your mom said what? Your dad said what? Come now. Not afterwards. Now. You come. You see? And so same for us, the older ones. Delay obedience are essentially insubordinations. And neglects are a form of rebellion. Do not our Lord Jesus says this, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 14 verse 15. Love is often more seen in the little things that we do than in great things. Let your love be shown by a childlike obedience, which studies to do all the master's will in all points. Of course, with the help, with the aid, the enabling of the Holy Spirit. Submit yourselves to God is to lovingly, humbly, and joyfully obey the will of God, your Heavenly Father. There is one more meaning to our text to make it complete. Sorry. And that is submit yourself means this. Yielding your hearts to the motion or to the direction of the Divine Spirit. Of the Spirit of God. Of the Holy Spirit. By being impressible, sensitive, and easily affected. The Spirit of God has worked hard with many Christians to lead them in the right way. They are like the horse and or like the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held up or held in with bit and bridle. Psalm 32 verse 9. And so as Christian believers, let us be rendered sensitive by the Spirit of God. And we can be made so. We can be made so by submitting ourselves entirely to His will. Is there not a promise, brethren? Not a promise to that effect? I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Is it possible of this change of heart in the life of a Christian believer? It is possible, because God will do that work. Ezekiel 36 verse 26. I will take away the stony heart, meaning to say stubborn or stiff neck, and I will give you a heart of flesh. However, it needs work. Spiritually, we are to wrestle and fight. Because, as I said, the old nature is still in us, or this corrupt nature, there is this spiritual battle. And so, side by side, we are to yield ourselves to the Spirit's impulse, for it is He, as Paul says, which worketh in you, or in us, the believers, to will and to do of His good pleasure. Philippians 2 verse 13. And so, the Spirit strives in us mightily, and we will be, or rather we will but resign ourselves and no longer be obstacles to His divine way. The Lord will carry us to greater heights of grace and create in us more fully the likeness of Christ when we humbly submit ourselves to Him. Submit yourselves, therefore, unto God. Learn the sweetness of lying submissively to or in His hand, and knowing no will but God's will. Learn the blessedness of giving yourself up entirely to His divine will or divine sway. For in so doing, you will enter into a closer walk with Him. I come now to my second head, and that is a call. First, a call to the redeemed people of God. Now, a call to those who are not saved, those who are outside of the kingdom of God. I come to this part to address those who are not believer, or who think that they may be believer. It is very possible that there are those who profess Christ but have not submitted themselves to God. You are trying to do what or when, or rather you are trying to do when the best thing for you to do is to cease from yourself and to drop into the hand of the Savior, who is able to save you though you cannot save yourself. For a proud heart, the very hardest thing is to submit. The sinner's motto is, I will not surrender. But my dear friends, if you hold that firmly and you are not willing to submit, that's the end of you. And should God, in His judgment, leave you to your own will, you perish. Listen attentively, my stout-hearted friend. You can never save yourselves unless you submit. When you are saved, one of the main points in your salvation will be that you have submitted. The verse before us hints at this. Submit yourselves therefore to God, and then continue with, resist the devil, he will flee from you. If you do not submit to God, you will never resist the devil, and you will remain constantly under his tyrannical power, which shall be your master, God or the devil. For one of these must. No man is without a master. Some power or other is paramount within us. Either good or evil is supreme in our hearts. And if we will not be mastered by the good, the evil has already gained the control. You might ask, how then am I to submit? Or to what shall I submit? And in what respect? Well, first, submit yourselves. That is the first thing you need to do. Submit yourself if you would be saved. Submit yourself if you would have eternal life. Submit yourself to the Word of God. Believe it to be true. Believing it to be true, yield yourselves to its force. Does it accuse you? As you read the Word of God, as you read your Bible, does it accuse you? Then confess the accusation. Does it condemn you? Then plead guilty. Does it hold out hope to you? Then embrace it. Grasp it. Does it command you? Obey it then. Does it guide you? Follow it. Does it cheer you? Believe it. Submit yourself to Him who in this blessed sacred page proclaims Himself to be the Savior of all such as will return, throw down the weapons of their rebellion, and end their futile war by relying upon His power, upon Christ's power to save you. You yourself, to what? Next, to your conscience. First, the Word of God. First, submit yourself to the Word of God, now to your conscience. Because God speaks often to men, to women, to boys and girls, through the still small voice of conscience. Open your two ears and listen. Your conscience can do you no hurt. Your conscience can do you no hurt. It may disturb you. It may give you unrest. But it is well. It is better to be disturbed when peace, a false peace, leads on to death. He or she is a fool who killed the watchdog because it alarmed him or her when thieves were breaking into his house. If conscience reprimand you or rebuke you or chide you, then take heed of his rebuke. Your conscience is your best friend. I borrow the words from Paul. Don't sear your conscience. Don't suppress it. You may actually suppress it now, in this lifetime, on this side of eternity, and you think that by suppressing or ignoring your conscience, and therefore it will be well, and you appear before God, and then you can tell God, and God open up the book, did I do this? Did I sin in this area? Really? Oh no. Oh no. Your conscience will be revived. You can sear it now. You can suppress it. Also called numb it. Dull it. Now, for the time being. But God will revive it. How do we know? I told you before. The parable of the rich man, Lazarus, and what? The word. The bosom of Abraham. Remember? And what did the man, that rich man in hell, said to Father Abraham? He said, send Lazarus. You see, he was conscious. He remembers every detail. He said, I have how many brothers?
He not just say, I have a brothers, I have five brothers back on earth. Can you please send him to share with them the gospel? You see that? The conscience is revived. And so therefore, don't fool yourself, my friends. Doubt it, numb it, all you want now. But it will revive and your conscience will be your judge. Your conscience is your best friend. Faithful are its friendly wounds, but the kisses of a flattering enemy are deceitful. Proverbs 27 verse 6. And then you may ask me again, in what respect am I to submit myself? I answer briefly as I can. First, submit yourself by humbly confessing your sin. Choose between one of the two. Judge yourself or be judged of God. If you will judge yourself and put in a plea of guilty, then will the great judge grant you pardon and forgiveness. Not else. Condemn yourselves and you shall not be condemned. Confess the indictment to be true, for it is true, and to deny it is to seal your doom. Submit yourselves to God as your King, as your Lord. I said this also before, that many love to have Jesus to be their Savior, but not their Lord. They reject the Lordship of Christ. But you notice in Scripture what it is said of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. So you cannot have one without the other. You must have both. Jesus must be your Savior and your Lord. Throw down your weapon, lower your crest, cast away those ropes of pride and stubbornness, surrender unconditionally and say, Lord God, I owe you now to be King. Dispute no longer his sovereignty, but pray to be made a loyal subject, obedient in all things, not something, but all things. You shall then find grace in the sight of the Lord Jesus if you will do this. Submission to God's will is the essence of salvation. Now, I ask, who will you? Who will submit? Who will surrender unconditionally? Who will you at once? Will you humbly surrender? Kiss the Son, the psalmist say, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, while his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. Psalm 2 verse 12. Therefore, brethren and friends, boys and girls, submit yourself to Christ. Do not delay to unite yourselves, not only to the Lord Jesus, but to unite also with those who rejoice to be led in triumph as the captives of his grace. May the Lord have mercy upon us and help us. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we confess indeed, O Lord, we are a very rebellious people. We confess our impenitence. We confess, Heavenly Father, of our stubbornness and being stiff-necked. Forgive us, we pray. Cleanse us once again, Lord, by thy shed blood, each one of your children. Sanctify us anew by your Holy Spirit. And we pray for those who are still outside of your kingdom, that your Spirit will soften their hearts, that you will grant them faith to put their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ fully, and that they may surrender themselves to you humbly. So, Lord, we pray for your blessing. In Jesus' name, Amen.